All right, so this is kind of a nice surprise where we've done a couple of ventures into the world of All Creatures Great and Small, where there was the original 1978 TV series and the 2020 remake, and then we found out that there was a 1975 movie version that we also watched on this podcast, on this channel. And while I was researching that, I saw that there was, between that 1975 movie and the 1978 TV series, there was one more movie, one in 1976, that was released on VHS back in the 90s, apparently, that nobody seems to have anymore, and never released on DVD, either in America or in the UK. So I remember I mentioned when we were reviewing the 1975 All Creatures Great and Small, I was like, hey, if anybody, take a look in your attic or whatever. If you have a copy of that old VHS, that thing is basically lost. So if anybody finds it, upload it to the internet, please. And somebody commented on YouTube saying that it has been found just recently, just, I don't know, maybe in the last 3 months. Somebody uploaded the 1976 movie to YouTube, and it appears what happened. It seems like they just taped it off TV. It just happened to get rerun on British TV at some point. So somebody taped it off of there. And it's a channel that they do Italian subtitles for British shows. They've got like some I, Claudius and some Upstairs, Downstairs. And just in amongst all that stuff is this lost All Creatures Great and Small movie. This one is called It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet, which was the name of the second book in the series. So yeah, if you just search It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet 1976 on YouTube, hopefully in the future it's still there, but as of this recording, it's there. So we can actually go in one more time and watch one more version of All Creatures Great and Small.
Excellent, excellent.
We're
I'll be
going.
interested to see if it's the TV actors or if it's remember how the original movie had different, it had actual British actors and then they replaced them with the TV actors when they made the TV series. It'd be interesting to see if this one has those guys in it.
Yeah, there isn't. I did a little research, and there's not a ton to find necessarily about this because this is very much the, I mean, the 1975 movie was already pretty forgotten, quite unknown, I think, relative to the TV series. So this is the double forgotten one. So there's not a ton of information about it, but I do have a bit. So I'll tell you what I learned. So yeah, speaking of the actors, so to recap, in the 1975 one, it was a pretty star-studded cast. That one was Simon Ward and Anthony Hopkins. So that was pretty cool. In the 1978 series, it was Christopher Timothy and Robert Hardy. In the 2020 series, it was Nicholas Ralph and Samuel West. So for the 1976 one, it's yet a different set of people. They did not get Simon Ward and Anthony Hopkins back. So I don't know these actors, but let me know if you've heard of them. It's John Alderton and Colin Blakely.
John Alderton, yes, I know him. He had a, I forget the name of the show, but it was he and his, it was his actual wife, I think. They were in a British TV series, and it was a husband and wife kind of deal. I forget her name, but if somebody said her name, I'd know it. Colin Blakely. Can't say I know that name.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe as we see it, maybe you'll recognize his face. But yeah, I do not know these gentlemen. But yeah, it is interesting how it's like so many different, it's like alternate realities. We get to see like four different versions of these characters and like different people playing them. It's kind of cool.
It's obviously a very, it was a very, very popular book to have enveloped into four different, like TV show, two movies, and then a brand new TV series done, just a couple of years back.
Yeah, and in fact, also wasn't there another modern day series that was like Young James Harriet or something along those lines?
I think there is, yeah. Yeah, I've
So
never
yeah,
seen it, but.
definitely a ton of All Creatures Great and Small, but yeah, especially in the 70s, yeah, you can really see that they did the movie in 1975 and it did well, and then they did another one in 1976 and it apparently did well enough that then they're like, let's just make a whole series in 1978. And then yeah, a bit of a break, but now they're making them again. So yeah, for sure. So this one, it's called It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet, which is the name of the second novel, although the first movie, the one with Simon Ward and Anthony Hopkins, it actually covered the first two books. So even though this movie's named after the second book, it actually is the third and fourth book that this one covers. And they changed the name in America to All Things Bright and Beautiful, which I do really think it's a rare case of the American version being better. But I like the American titles so much better, so much better. I do not like the original titles at all. It was If Only They Could Talk was the first book. It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet. Let Sleeping Vets Lie. Vet in Harness. Vets Might Fly. Vet in a Spin. And it's just like, I just think it's so much more, it just, that I guess it was the Americans' idea when they were republishing the books in compilations to name them after that. You know, you said it was like a hymnal or whatever, All Things.
All Pictures Great and Beautiful. All things bright and beautiful. All creatures great and small. La, 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 la. The Lord God made them all. That's the words. There's the third line. I can't remember what it is. All things bright and beautiful.
Yeah,
all
so it's
creatures
kind of interesting
great and small.
I don't...
La, 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 la. The Lord God made them all.
Yeah, so I mean, I have no idea if that has anything, you know, maybe it's not even applicable. I have no idea like what the connection is, but it just sounds better. You know, All Creatures Great and Small is such a cool title. It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet is such a sucky title.
And these vets do deal with all creatures great and small. I mean, they have their little animal practice. They like the small dogs and the fish and the gerbils and whoever come into their practice. And then they have those great big farm Clydesdale horses and cows and all that stuff that they have to actually go out. So yes, and those are the great creatures, but they also have the little creatures. So yeah, that's a good title.
So this movie was a British-American joint venture, the same as the first one. The actress who played Helen, Lisa Harrow, is actually the same. So I think she's the only person who's the same between them. But I guess this will be a pretty direct continuation from the Simon Ward, Anthony Hopkins film. But also interesting, this movie features the debut film appearance of Richard Griffiths as Sam. So I didn't recognize the name Richard Griffiths. But then I looked up, who is he? What is he known for? He's Vernon Dursley, Harry Potter's awful uncle.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we're going to see a much younger Mr. Dursley in this film. So that's kind of interesting. This was his debut. And then, yeah, besides that, released on VHS in the 1990s, the film is yet to see a commercial release on DVD. So, yeah, I guess we're just lucky that some guy who decided he wanted to make Italian subtitles for British shows caught this one on TV, recorded it, put it on his YouTube page. So now we can watch it.
Okay, well, let's check it out.
So how did you feel about the middle step between the first All Creatures Great and Small movie and the TV series?
Well, the TV series, of course, had much more detail in it because they spread it out over a long span, but I thought this was okay. And they didn't dwell on big, long, emotional, dragging things out. Like when the car got stuck in the river, we didn't see them extricating the car from the river. And that was really an introduction to the fact that the thing didn't have good brakes. The guy had said that they didn't have a whole lot of graphic veterinary work. Well, they did with the birth of the calf. That was, you know, that was pretty graphic. But it was good. As it was closing off, though, I was thinking they didn't have a little episode introducing Mrs. Pumphrey. I don't know if you know who Mrs. Pumphrey was, but she was a wealthy lady who lived in a big mansion and her little dog is Tricky Woo, and Tricky Woo's just one of these little lap dogs, and she spoils him rotten. And she's a very, very big part in the TV show. But I thought they might introduce just, you know, a little short snippet of her, but they didn't. And as I said, Tristan, the brother, he was not in this series at all, and he is also a big part of the TV series.
Yeah, I guess that's in general, you know, just because it was just a movie. I guess that is the main thing about it, is it just had to skip along kind of quickly, which I guess people maybe wouldn't have noticed so much when it first came out, unless they had read the books, is only in hindsight, because, you know, you'd said, oh, I recognize this from the show or that from the show. But yeah, it's all obviously it has to be a lot more squeezed in here. And you could kind of feel that it's like they were experimenting a little bit with like what tone that maybe a visual version of All Creatures Great and Small should have. And this was, you know, I'd say it mostly did quite well, but it does seem like the little things that they tried, they didn't actually stick with. Like, you know, I was saying how just if you look at the poster for this, it just, they're pushing the comedy a lot more, where it's like a really weird, silly cartoon poster. But it's not that this was especially funny, but definitely like a little more than I'm used to with All Creatures Great and Small, with, you know, chasing around an animal to funny music, or even when, you know, the cars were racing against each other and it was almost like an action scene. It seems like they sort of tested out the waters with stuff like that. And then when they went to the full series, they decided like, yeah, no, never mind. Never mind with that stuff.
And they didn't want to have a whole lot of heartbreaking scenes, because in the TV series, that was usually the formula, is that there was something that was usually kind of really sad and then played off with a happy scene. This one dealt more with how happy things could be. I mean, even though it ends with the declaration of war, but they've had the little baby has been born, and they the vet show where he has to be the judge. You know, it was all pretty lighthearted. You didn't really, and even the lady who had the cows that were dying, they didn't dwell a whole lot on the death of those cows. They just made a slight reference to the fact that they'd have to get the knacker to come and take away the corpses. But it was all very quick. Like, they didn't dwell on anything that would be disheartening, or you know, you'd say, oh my God, this vet's life is just so hard and so sad. They didn't, whereas the TV series does, it balances off a whole lot of death and happiness. This show dealt more with lightheartedness.
It is really interesting how many different slants you can take on things. I mean, it's like this with anything, but it's rare to have so many different examples where this, you know, there's four distinct versions where, you know, I'd say the original TV series kind of seems like it struck the best balance. Although that first movie was quite similar, just faster. You know, if anything, these movies, instead of two movies, should have been four movies. They were definitely too fast. And then this one was, yeah, like you're saying, less dedicated to the harder side and more lighthearted. And then if you jump forward to 2020, that's the much more like drama. let's squeeze some drama into this situation. But it is kind of neat seeing all the different versions, though I do get the sense that it's kind of a good thing that they went. I don't know, it's interesting because you think of movies in some ways as being a step above TV. You know, it's like, oh, we made a movie. But in the case of All Creatures Great and Small, maybe because it is kind of a slice of life type of thing, I think it was definitely for the benefit of this series that they moved to TV. Because I kind of get the feeling if they had kept trying to make movies, maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe there wouldn't be any more movies. You know, this kind of felt like they had sort of run that well dry. I can't really see why they would make a third movie in this style. But ironically, if you switch it to TV and stretch it way out, then suddenly, then it's great. Then it fits fine and you can go for years.
They were all very good, though. And I can see why anybody watching these would say, any one of them would say, okay, I'm going to watch a future version of that, or I'll watch that again or whatever. They were all different, but all very, very good and very very enticing. The countryside, of course, I guess that's the Yorkshire Dales, must be like that. In every one of those movies, it's like beautiful. And I've often said, man, if I'm going to go anywhere in the world, I'd love to go driving around the Yorkshire Dales. Now, whether they look like that now or not, I don't know. But those old stone walls and those rolling hills and the old stone buildings, like they're just beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I bet there's still parts that look like that, you know? It's like, do you remember I showed you that guy? His name's Liam. He's a YouTuber who just walks across stuff. We just watched him like walk across Wales or whatever. And yeah, and he's always walking through, you know, old farmlands and those low brick walls and sheep everywhere. Like, I bet you could go on the All Creatures Great and Small tour and yeah, you'd feel like you were in it.
And every one of those movies really plays on that. Like the nature of this, the environment is almost as relevant as the actual stories themselves. Yeah, they all just meld together. Beautiful scenery in every one of these shows.
Yeah, and we were also saying how it's kind of neat, again, with the four different versions. Another aspect of that is four different pairs of actors playing the characters. So yeah, who are they in this case? Let me pull up those names again. It was John Alderton and Colin Blakely. And yeah, they did a pretty good job. Like, it was a pretty smooth transition.
Yeah, because sometimes you look at these earlier versions or remakes or whatever, and you say, oh, geez, I don't know. That guy, he didn't quite do it. Because you're so used to seeing a certain actor play the part that in your mind you think, well, that's the only guy who could really do it. But these guys all do it, and they all pull it off really, really well. They're all believable as those characters. Although, as we said, John Alderton, he's kind of cute, good looking, and Christopher
Simon
Timothy
Ward also.
Plays it in the TV series, and Simon Ward, oh yeah, handsome. Whereas Christopher Timothy is very much more like just your standard average type guy, nothing special about him in the looks department, and does a wonderful job acting. They all do a wonderful job acting. They all are very believable in these parts.
Yeah, and the guy, Samuel West, the 2020 dude, he's also handsome as heck. It's interesting that in the 1978 TV series, it actually seems like the one that follows the, like, again, I haven't read the books, but I'm presuming that in the books, I get the feeling in the books, Siegfried probably was a bit more prickly, because he sort of seems to be that way in every version except 1978, where Robert Hardy does seem to have taken him in a softer direction. But I feel like that was a good call, because he is my favorite version. The 1978, both of them are my favorite versions. So yeah, that's interesting too. It's like maybe they, with these movies, they clearly tried to stick pretty close to the books, almost in a weird way. Like, it's almost weird how this movie kind of ended with, like, quite lighthearted, just having to, give out awards. And it's your job to, just to do this local community stuff that's just like a pain in his butt. And then suddenly they're declaring war. Like, they're almost following the books too much, where I kind of like that the 1978 version, they seem to have still hits all those beats, but they went with their own sort of version of it. Like, maybe these movies were like a test, and they, so that they could, like, maybe if they had made the 1978 show first, it wouldn't have been quite as perfect as it is. Except they already had two previous templates that they could tweak. So yeah, it's kind of neat that the way it all worked out.
Well, and see, with the TV series too, they were able, okay, let's take the Siegfried Farn role. In the movies, they could really only give you snippets of what his personality was like. And Siegfried Farn in the TV series is like that too, except the TV series, because it had so much more time to move along with storylines, was able to develop his character to a much deeper level than what the TV series can. He's kind of flat in the movies. But then again, that's the time restraint, whereas the TV series was able to take that flatness and really develop it. And that's why you saw those different sides of Siegfried Farnan. You saw a soft side, and you saw the hard side. And actually in the movie, they kind of hinted at that a little bit, like when the cows are dying in the field and he says, I have to just walk away, because I told you not to get that. You should never get personally involved with these people and their situations, but yeah, there's times you can't help it and you just got to walk away. So they are hinting at a deep and a softer side.
And obviously with, with pretty much anything, especially so, it's a lot of different, plate spinning of, you have, it's all based on books, and then trying to convert something into a movie is one thing, and trying to convert it into a show is another thing. And you know, there's always endless arguments with anything that's ever been made about, like, you know, which version is best, how do you best do this, yada yada. But with All Creatures Great and Small in particular, it does seem really clear that the TV format is just more appropriate because of the kind of story that it is. It is just kind of episodic, and you dip in and you dip out, and there's not always necessarily a thing that happens. It's just stuff, just stuff that happens. So yeah, just due to the nature of the mediums, the movie versions definitely feel a bit squeezed, feel a bit tight. But yeah, still, for what they are, yeah, no complaints. I'm glad we got to see it. They did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'm very glad we got to see it too.
God bless whoever taped it off TV, because yeah, it's kind of jarring how the TV thing kept popping up at the bottom of the screen, because, you know, this is a 1976 movie, but obviously nobody taped it off TV. Well, they couldn't have back then, but even in the 80s or anything, this is clearly a recent tape, because whenever the TV logo pops up at the bottom, it's this garish, colorful, now playing on blah, blah, blah channel. You know, it looks like, it just looks so, it's like, couldn't you have changed that graphic so it would fit a little better? But anyway, just whatever. However we got it, I'm just glad that we got it.
I'm glad I saw it. It was very enjoyable, and it lived up to the standard of all the others.